Today's reading comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 27, verses 1 and 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Merciful God, it is a privilege to be here. It is a privilege to be able to read your word. Thank you for the lamp of your word that shows us the path. May we all be illumined in this moment so that we are ready to hear and receive the message you have for us. But more importantly, God, not just to hear it, but for it to bear fruit, for it to be something that we live every day. We pray that you will speak to us now. We are here to listen to your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. So David, who scholars say most likely wrote this psalm, clearly values safety. He doesn't like to be afraid. In verse 1 alone, the fear factor is mentioned 2 times. So he talks about fear. He talks about being afraid. So you know what a foxhole is, right? It's a hole in the ground used by troops as a shelter against enemy fire or as a firing point. Something that provides them some form of safety. So it's almost as if this psalm reads like a foxhole monologue, because it invokes images of evildoers and adversaries and foes and armies and enemies and violence. And so what we see is that David longs for security. He's looking for cover. He wants to find a secure place, a shelter in the day of trouble. And his heart faints for fear, and all of his courage has vanished, and he remembers better days when he was in the house of the Lord and when he was full of faith. But now he's in a foxhole and his enemies are attacking from all sides. And as the saying goes, there are no atheists in foxholes. And so it comes as no surprise that David is calling for air support. The Lord of the air, whom he calls in verse 1 his light and his salvation. I think we all agree that there are times in our lives when we feel the same, right? Times when we have a desire for protection and safety from the enemy fire of the challenges that life brings. We've all had encounters in life where we're looking for a place of shelter. And I'm sure it will happen again in the future. So think of it this way. When it comes to our lives, there are foxholes and there are foxholes. Our troubles and sorrows differ from day to day. It differs from person to person. But when our troubles and sorrows seem to be overwhelming and we're seeking shelter from them, sometimes any bunker or bomb shelter or safe harbor or foxhole will do. And so for some, it might be getting into drugs. That might be their foxhole. For others, it might be a bottle or maybe the overuse of medication. Because not all foxholes are created equal. Now, I don't know if you know this, but literal foxholes, where real foxes with bushy tails live, are small. A human could never fit into a real foxhole. I mean, typically they're only like 4 inches or so in diameter. And you might find them near the base of a tree or along the footings of a wall. Nearby, the area might be littered with feathers or bones of their prey. The den of a fox ranges from 3 to 8 feet and might have multiple entrances. And the tunnel could be up to 50 feet long. Foxes rarely sleep in their foxholes. Rather, they store food there and raise their young or duck into their hole for escape or avoid a predator. And so for foxes, the hole is comfortable. But David, you know, he doesn't feel comfortable in his foxhole. He feels hemmed in. He feels trapped. He's in a really tight place. He has very little wiggle room and he's uncertain about the future. And maybe your foxhole is not sufficient either to help you cope with your fears. Because just like David did in his life, we generally have a lot of fear too. There are many things we're afraid of. We're afraid to walk alone at night in some areas of some cities. We fear mass shootings, climate change, identity theft, pancreatic cancer, threats to our children, having enough money to retire, the price of gas. I mean, on and on and on. You can most likely name your biggest fear. And maybe what we fear most is facing all of this without God. This is kind of David's mood right now. He doesn't always feel like this. I mean, in some of his psalms, he feels ill. In others, he is repentant and he's longing for forgiveness and a fresh beginning. In some, he's defiant and asking God to destroy his enemies. In still others, he's quietly at peace and relaxed. And in some, he's cheerful and happy and full of praise, but not now. His foxhole is small. His God is big, but he's nowhere to be found right now. And David is feeling exposed. He's feeling vulnerable. Stephen Covey, the author of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, coined the phrase, "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." I don't know if you've ever heard that expression. The revelation David has in his foxhole is similar. He says in verse 4, "One thing I asked of the Lord." He says, "Lord, I ask only one thing of you. This is what I want." What about you? If you were to ask the Lord for one thing, what would it be? What's the main thing for you? If you have to say, "God, this is what I want. What is the main thing for you? What's the main thing for most of us? Well, studies and surveys will tell you that we want more time. But we waste time in the worst possible ways. We want to be in a happy place. But we seldom seem to arrive or know how to get there. We want to be successful. But we have awful conceptions of what success is. We want good and healthy relationships, but we can't wrap our heads around what it means to live sacrificially. We want to feel safe, right? But we put our trust in alarm systems and text alerts and cameras and guns. We want to live in a civil society where we're accepting of others' politics and religion, but we use disparaging and derogatory words to describe those whose views are different from our own. We admire self-discipline, but we have very little in terms of exercise or portion control or lifestyle habits. So we're a mess of wants and desires with corresponding vices and voices on our shoulder arguing against the best choices we could make. We live in the paradox the Apostle Paul talked about. We want to do what is good for us, but we end up doing what is bad for us. And so David says, "One thing I ask the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." He says, "God, I'm asking for one thing. I want to live with You in Your house my whole life long. I want to contemplate Your beauty and study at Your feet." In other words, David's most happy place was where? He was most happy in the presence of God. And he was most unhappy when he was away from that same presence. Like in Psalm 51, for example, if you go read it. So David found that God's absences were usually a product of his disobedience. And David had enough life experience to know that it was in his best interest to be close to God, to keep God close at hand and keep him as his closest advisor and his protector, because David valued God's presence in his life more than anything else. And I think we know this too. Intuitively, we know that it's best for us to be close to God. We know this. But maybe contrary to the common wisdom that there are no atheists in foxholes, we are atheists in foxholes after all. Because how often are we not really believing that God can in any real and meaningful way help us in our day of trouble? Like someone noted, if the faithful truly and fully believe in a protective deity, why would they dive into a foxhole to protect themselves from the bullets whizzing by? What do you think? I think it's kind of an unfair statement, to be honest. Why do we dive into foxholes to protect ourselves from bullets whizzing by? Because a part of our brain knows darn well that if we do not protect ourselves, the bullets will hardly discriminate between those who claim faith and those who reject it. So, you know, we're more intelligent than that. So even faithful David, who was called a man after God's own heart, sought a cave or a cleft in the mountains for safety. He had to hide in a foxhole from Saul, who was trying to kill him. But what made him truly feel safe was not the foxhole, but the presence of God. And so he says in verse 5, "For he will hide me in this shelter, in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock." So for David, the main thing was to sense the presence of the Lord. That's what made him feel safe. That's what gave him peace, inner peace. So when you purchase a home, you're generally required to have homeowner's insurance. And these policies offer coverage for damage caused by fires, and lightning strikes, and wind storms, and hail. Usually, however, damage caused by earthquakes and floods are not covered by homeowner's insurance unless you specifically request it. David may not like the trouble he's in, so he wants full coverage. Does not want to be afraid. In his foxhole, he wants complete protection. And he knows that that can only be found in the Lord God. And so he says, "The Lord is my light and the one who saves me." And he goes further in verse 5 and uses three metaphors to describe the full range of the coverage the Lord offers. It says, "During danger, he will keep me safe in his shelter. He will hide me in his holy tent. Or he will keep me safe on a high mountain." Images of safety, images of protection. God will keep me safe from a powerful rainstorm. He will protect me from a sandstorm. He will keep me safely above the raging waters of a river or flood. David wants to be surrounded by God. Isn't that what we all want? To be surrounded by God's love, by God's care, by God's protection as we go about our lives, as we deal with all of our challenges and fears. In another of David's Psalms, he says, "I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in." It says, "Wherever I look, I see your presence. Wherever I go, I feel your presence." Your reassuring presence surrounds me. So in the end, you know, this psalm and these words are really not about David. It's all about God. The Lord is mentioned 17 times in 14 verses. And when we look closely, what we see is the contrast between the weakness and fear and pleadings and prayers of a faltering human being and a powerful deity who can extract us from certain destruction. The contrast between a person who wants more than anything to shed all the troubles he's seen and a God who can give him the safety of his divine presence. The contrast between the darkest night of the soul and our light and our salvation. It's all about God, who he is, what he's done, what he does, and what he will do. And may the one thing we long for and ask of the Lord, be His ever-surrounding presence in our lives. So we can say with confidence, no matter what happens to me or what kind of situation I face, the Lord is my light and the one who saves me. The Lord protects my life. So why should I be afraid? Amen. Merciful God, thank you that you are the light. Thank you that you are the one who saves us. That with your surrounding presence, we don't have to fear anything. And yet what we find in our lives is that we falter so often when it comes to our faith. That we so often seek safety and shelter in the wrong things. That so often the one thing we want is anything but your presence in our lives. Lord God, when we look at the life of David, we see someone who faltered in many different ways, who at times when he was real close to you and times when he felt separated. And it's the same in our lives. But we ask that your Holy Spirit, who has come, who lives within us, will remind us of your constant presence in our lives, so that when we face situations or the challenges of life, we always are reassured that you are with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Bless us with your presence, and may your Spirit create a desire within us to always seek your presence. We ask and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.